As Pastor Siobhan said last week, through this season of Lent, we are entering into the spiritual discipline of joy, which is truly a discipline in these times and days, for sure. We are feasting on joy and fasting from fear is our theme for throughout this season. And so today we turn to this lectionary passage, the story of Nicodemus, this reminder that Jesus came into the world that the world might be saved. Scripture speaks in these days, calling us back to God, as Sanford reminded us in his prayer, strengthening us for the journey. The prophet Isaiah proclaims, "Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong. Do not fear." And after a great deal of description of how God is seeking to bring hope out of the most dismal places, everlasting joy shall be on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I don't know about you, but I find myself in a lot of sighing in these days. And so I welcome and thirst for the lessons, the message of Scripture, of this God whom we worship, this Spirit that comes. In Isaiah and in this encounter of Jesus with Nicodemus, a promise of a God beyond this world in which we live, not just in the hereafter, but in the signs of hope and promise and the work of good people, and even broken people doing good. Isaiah the prophet, in this collection of prophecies of years, was no stranger to difficult days in his culture, to days of exile and abandonment, to fear and distress, to movement into and within shifting cultures and locations, to new life. Paired with this passage of Isaiah into that hope of being born of the Spirit, we encounter Nicodemus. The story of Nicodemus, a seeker, a Pharisee, a leader of the Jews coming to Jesus in the night, fits right into this mix. It is often in the night, in the hard places of life, that we are most able and open to encountering Jesus. Certainly, it is where we need Jesus the most. Like much of John's gospel, the story of Nicodemus is filled with double meanings. We who are Christians often live with two very different ways of looking at the world. That which is marked by worldly definitions of success and power, and that which is marked by a power which comes from the Spirit. Nicodemus comes as a seeker, one who, though he does not yet believe fully, seeks fuller understanding of what it means to walk with God. Nicodemus comes by night. He associated with Jesus in secret. Was it by night because the daytimes were so filled with other people and Nicodemus wanted a private opportunity to explore this message with our Lord? Or was he being cautious because he didn't want to be seen by others in approaching Jesus? Nicodemus approaches Jesus respectfully, calling him a teacher who has come from God. He knows somehow from his observation and encounters with others that Jesus is working by God's power, and he is curious, open to this new life that may be possible. Professor Albert Robitaux said several years ago in a presentation at Brown on spiritual life in America, "Grace is everywhere if we but submit to God, not our ideas of holiness." He urged us to become an instrument in the hands of God by letting go of ego, getting out of the way so that God can work through us. Jesus tells Nicodemus in this encounter that no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. A pretty abrupt answer to a respectful questionnaire. As I told the children this morning, the Greek word noten holds a double meaning, meaning either born again or born from above, which are two very different understandings. To be born from above puts the activity entirely upon God. Yet Nicodemus chooses to argue with Jesus about the possibility of being born again. And Nicodemus misses understanding the power of the Spirit's action in this rebirthing process, this coming from above. He hears only the possibility of a physical rebirth and knows there is nothing that we can do to make that happen. We too would be wise in these days to invite the Spirit, to be open to it, instead of thinking always that if we just think hard enough, we can figure out how to do life perfectly in these times. Some of the richest moments come in putting ourselves in a place where we may be open to the Spirit, to be born of the Spirit. Sometimes with others, sometimes on our own. It's one of the reasons we study and join in fellowship with our Tuesday nights in this season. Think for a while about the ways in which you have felt the movement of the Spirit in your life, the influences in your own life, and the ways in which you continue to encounter God and grow in faith. Some of you know that I was raised in a Presbyterian household and church during the 1960s. Yes, I am that old. A time when not very many people were using born-again language. It was a time for the gospel message to be applied to the ills of society. At least that was the way the church we attended interpreted it. The Great Society and the fight for racial equality. I hit the 70s in junior high and high school, and the beginnings of the rise, at least in Washington State, of more fundamentalist churches, more born-again churches. Church programs which attracted my peers and encouraged them to identify and name the date of their conversion and commitment to Jesus Christ. But I felt like I had grown up in that milieu. I didn't join one of those churches, the Evergreen Christian Center, which was very popular with my classmates. But I persisted in my membership in a Presbyterian church youth group, helping to lead worship, particularly in youth Sundays, painting smaller churches in the presbytery on vacation weekends and summers, studying and reflecting upon issues from a Christian perspective in Sunday school and youth group meetings. Up through my college years, I had what many people call a nurtured experience of faith, which is often the faith of many Presbyterians who grow up in the Presbyterian church. As one commentator has put it, some of us were raised in Christian homes and came by our faith gradually. We can't point to a dramatic conversion experience, whether that's on the Damascus Road like Paul or in the night like Nicodemus. Our Christian birth experience can be gentler because Christ has had more time to shape our lives. When he starts earlier, Jesus, this is the commentator's words, Jesus can use sandpaper instead of a sledgehammer to remake us into godly people. But yet, I have known conversion in a dramatic way, as some of you know the story of my senior year in college. And in the conversion stories of many in the faith that I have known over the years of ministry. And when I think of conversion stories, I remember my experience with Denise, a patient in the hospital when I was in my first year after seminary. Denise was paralyzed in a drug accident and came into the hospital while I was starting to be a hospital chaplain. She lived the last 10 years of her life on a respirator. Denise and I, over that time in the hospital, because she was there in the hospital for that full year because there was no other place for her to go, We had many conversations about faith and God. Denise thought that the only way that God could get her attention through the drugs and the running around was to allow her to be paralyzed so that she would turn to God. She counted it a blessing that even though she paid that heavy price, she came to love and trust God and people for the first time in her life. It changed her life. It changed her life. She was quite literally born again and reconnected during that time with five kids that she had lost over the years. Denise knew the cross firsthand and the great price of the grace of Jesus Christ. While I don't believe that God struck her down and paralyzed her to show her that way, God certainly continued to come to her in all those years. Are we open to the Spirit which may lead to our being born from above, born of the Spirit? Perhaps in a way that we can scarcely imagine God at work in our lives. Or do we encourage this life only if we don't have to change very much, maybe to endure a little bit of sandpaper? As long as Jesus doesn't get in the way of what we want to do with our lives. There's a story that the pastor I once worked with told, which I have never forgotten. Imagine your journey of faith as if you were driving a car and you suddenly come upon Jesus at the side of the road. You stop the car of your life, that journey of your life, to converse with him, and he asks to journey with you. Do you invite him to ride as your passenger or as the driver of your car and your life? God is waiting for us. The Spirit is waiting for us ever and always to be born anew from above. And when we do, we become open to live a new life alive to God, and there is joy there. Listening to God's word, seeing traces of God's hand at work in our lives, on the lookout for an indication of God's will for our lives, responsive to the Spirit in prayer, alert to obey where God alone would lead us. And we who are privileged to have that experience this new life as a peace that the world cannot give and a peace the world cannot take away, and we experience it as a power to be a witness in our world. There is comfort in knowing that we are not walking any new place where Christ has not already been. This is the awesome wonder of the crucifixion, the joy of grace, the foundation of this new life that is ours and brings courage for the journey. This new life in Christ, though, is not just for ourselves, but to transform the world in which we live, to witness to the new life which is possible for all people and must indeed be for all people. To share this good news. We are united with Christ in the power of the resurrection, and there is power in that. We are given new eyes in which to see our world, to speak out against injustice, hatred, and that which is sinful, empowered by the witness and the example of Jesus himself. Our energy and our new life are needed in this world, my friends. We have been truly blessed and have much opportunity to share those blessings with a hurting world in these days. In 1990, just 6 months after the collapse of communism, Peter Kuzmic, the president of the Evangelical Theological College in then Yugoslavia, spoke to the Fellowship of Evangelical Seminary Presidents in the United States. When he was asked about the unpredicted cataclysmic happenings in Eastern Europe, he answered, "Never put a period where God puts a comma." As we continue the journey of discipleship together, I urge you too to never put a period where God puts a comma. The great power of God to allow us to see clearly the life before us in good and bad, and to realize that God isn't finished with the story. We live in the now and the not yet. Be open to the possibility that you too may experience the power of the Spirit, this joy which leads to rebirth from above. And beware, you may be just two balls of red and blue, but God may be at work to make you purple. And let us go on our way rejoicing in that power, that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Amen.